So there are zillions of perks to being president, of course. There ought to be something to balance out what Barack Obama is going to inherit. How did he put it? Two wars, a planet in peril, and the worst financial crisis in a century. Well, one of those perks is a little unusual. He's got a house band. The president has a house band. Barack Obama will have it. George Bush has the same band. It's the United States Marine Band, also known literally as the President's Own. It is the oldest professional musical organization in the country. Its primary function is to provide music for the President of the United States. Hey, I thought it would just be like a CD player. But here to talk about to us about the significance of the band down through history and its long history is WNYC Evening Music host and our friend Terrence McKnight. Terrence, thanks for coming in here.
Thanks, John.
So, Terrence, the president's got his own band and, of course, plays this song.
It's got to be kind of cool. You've got live music anytime, anywhere, on demand. And with the exception of George Washington, every president has had this band at his disposal.
So Congress created this band, right?
That's right, 1798. And Thomas Jefferson in 1801 coined the term the president's own band. And since that time, this band has played at every president's inaugural since that time. So it's been around for over 200 years now.
And it plays more than one song, right? It
plays more than one song. They've got tons of recordings, and they play so many styles. There are about 160 musicians. 22 or so of those are administrators, but anything from country music to jazz music to traditional American music.
What's this?
This is Charles Ives' Variations on America. This is the U.S. Marine Band. Take a listen to a little bit of this, John.
You know, the history of this band is also in some ways a history of American music. There was a yearning not only for a ceremonial Marine band, but also a way of exploring what was America's musical voice, and you can hear it in that Charles Ives.
This band plays about 500 concerts a year.
Wow.
300 of those are in the White House, and they travel at the discretion of the president abroad, here at home.
And they're witnesses to history. There are a lot of great examples of that.
Absolutely. 1809. This band played at James Madison's presidential inaugural ball, first time ever. 1828, the Marine Band played Hail to the Chief. We heard that earlier, also known as Ruffles and Flourishes. 1943, or let me go back to 1909. There's a very historic recording because it was Theodore Roosevelt's daughter, Alice, who wanted the band to play this new music, ragtime. So in 1909, there's a historic recording of them playing Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. 1943, they started playing concerts where people would dance on the White House lawn. So there's a long history of this band.
And, you know, I had a cousin who died tragically, but he was the first trumpet for the Marine Band. And he described it as the most fun, the best gig he ever had. They got to travel everywhere. They were the partyingest, most raucous group, whether they were in small ensembles or big ensembles. And he also said the best healthcare in the universe.
Well, their primary purpose is to play music for the president. There is no combat involved in this band. So they play music. They do what musicians do.
And they've got a greatest hits playlist. Now, everybody knows this tune, but there's history here.
John Philip Sousa, probably the most famous of the Marine Band conductors, 1880. He worked with the band for about 12 years, or as director, from 1880 to around 1892. He wrote this music after he left the band, but this is an official American anthem by Congress. Stars and Stripes.
You know, I can see those two Obama girls marching around the front lawn of the White House listening to that maybe a little bit.
Well, you know, we'll have to see because every president, many presidents have left their stamp on the band. For example, Bill Clinton, while he was governor, he sat in with the band playing his saxophone. And we've had other presidents who have been musical. George Bush, he plays an instrument? George Bush may take some flack for his, you know, for the way he's conducted our wars, but he's conducted this band.
Really?
And he's the only president to have conducted the band.
Maybe he should have stuck with that. Okay, that's another subject. We don't have to talk about that. But he conducted the band.
He conducted the band.
That's amazing. So what other kinds of styles and maybe controversies has the band gotten into as it branches out into other kinds of music?
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, I think the big controversy was back in 1909 when they, you know, wanted to play this ragtime music. So we'll have to see what type of stamp Barak leaves on the band, because as we know, he's from Chicago and he likes anything from Bach to Miles Davis to the Fugees. So we'll have to see what his stamp is. But what I can say is that there's a new composition called Spots by a composer, American composer named Frederick Shevsky, where it's for chamber orchestra and a player who bounces a basketball.
Oh, really?
It's a brand new piece. So
lots of potential for the Marine Band. What we're listening to now is New Orleans jazz. It's not the Marine Band, but going into jazz was a bit of a controversy, even past the Scott Joplin period for the band, right?
Perhaps we're past that now, John.
Yeah. And hip-hop next?
We'll have to see.
Could that be Barack Obama's legacy?
Time will tell.
Talking about the Marine Band, the President's Own Band, one of the great musical perks for the new president when he arrives.
And John, I should mention that another moment in this band was 1973. Richard Nixon was president, and the first woman was admitted into the band, 1973, and she was a French horn player. And now about 30% of the band, including administration, women.
America changes, so does the Marine Band. Terrence McKnight, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.